Okay, maybe we didn't lose the load right away, but it was sheer good luck that kept it together, not Slim's stacking job. And for the record, let me say that I watched it in the side mirrors as we drove along. You know that big pothole in the county road just west of the... Well, maybe you don't know it, since you've never... There was a big pothole in the Caliche Road, just west of the low water crossing. And when we hit it with the right rear tire, I thought the load was gonna quit us. I watched it in the mirror and held my breath. So did Slim. When it didn't fall, he winked at me and grinned.
Yeah, solid as a brick wall.
Yeah, right. And when you're lucky, you don't need skill or brains. We turned left onto the road that led into the Dutcher Creek pasture and rumbled over the cattle guard. I kept one eye on the mirror and one eye on Slim. The load held. Again, he gave me a wink and a grin. I don't know why he had to make such a big deal out of it. Had we bet a large sum of money on it? No. I had merely expressed my opinion. And besides that, the day wasn't over. We still had several miles of ranch roads to cover on our feed run, and that right rear corner looked pretty cushy to me. We passed Slim's house. Actually, it was a shack, a little cow camp shack that showed the effects of being lived in by a bachelor cowboy. Does that make sense? Maybe not, so let me put it another way. If you'd been driving along and someone had pointed to Slim's place and said, "A bachelor cowboy lives there," you wouldn't have been surprised. Fact one. The outside of the shack was decorated with black tar paper. Why? Because Slim and Loper had never gotten around to finishing it out with shingles or siding. They had begun the project years ago, but it had gotten derailed. What had been their excuse?
"We'll finish it up when we get caught up on this ranch work," they had said.
Ha! Huh. They'd never caught up on the ranch work, and the outside of his shack had remained black and ugly. But you know what else? Slim couldn't have cared less. Black was probably his favorite color, if he had a favorite color. If he could even see color, and I'm not sure he could. Fact two. The curtains in the windows were the same curtains that had been there when he'd moved in. Only now they were quite a bit dustier and fadeder, more faded, shall we say, than before. I doubt that he'd ever touched them. I know for a fact he'd never cleaned them. As far as I could tell, they served only one purpose: to hide the fly specks on his windows and the piles of dead Miller moths on the sills. Fact three. His yard showed all the love and care that a bachelor could give. None. There might have been five sprigs of buffalo grass in that yard, but mostly it was Russian thistles, soapweed, sunflowers, cockleburrs, and gourd vines. When strangers came to visit, about once every 2 years, they often pointed to the gourd vines and said, "My, your watermelons are doing great." And Slim would say, "Yup, but I have to work at it." Right. I happen to know that in 5 years, Slim had spaded up his yard 3 times. How do I know that? Because that's the number of times his sewer had stopped up, and he'd had to turn some dirt to reach the cleanout. Oh, and have we mentioned his flowers? He had flowers in the yard. There was one little patch of iris on the south side of the house. They'd probably been there for 50 years and had somehow managed to survive. I don't know if they'd ever bloomed. If they did, he'd probably rush out and spray them with poison to keep them from messing up his tar paper color scheme. Fact four. He had a clothesline in the backyard. The posts were made of old 4x4 timbers with 2x4 cross arms. They'd probably been put there by buffalo hunters in the 1870s, and they looked like two old rugged crosses with one strand of galvanized wire strung between them.
and as you may know, his clothesline was always loaded down with clothes. This might have fooled some people into thinking that Slim was neat and clean. That's a laugh. We dogs knew the true story. He washed his clothes maybe once a month and then left them flapping on the line so that he wouldn't have to fold them or put them in a drawer. Anyways, that was Slim's shack, and we drove past it on the way to feed the Dutcher Creek cows. Slim guided the pickup down a little hill and parked in a grassy flat west of the creek. There he honked the horn and called the cows in his usual manner by cupping his right hand around his mouth and yelling, "Woo! Woo, cow!" His cow calling always hurt my ears, and it always caused his Adam's apple to jump around. Whilst we waited for the cows to come in, he picked through the litter on the floor of the pickup and came up with an old yeller copy of the Twitchell Picayune. Does anybody know what a Picayune is or why it became the name of a newspaper? Not me. Anyways, he found the paper and began reading it. I don't know why he bothered. It was the same paper he'd been carrying around and reading for 2 months. Oh. And it had an oil stain on the front page where he'd used it to clean the dipstick. That was the one day he hadn't used my ear. He scrunched down in the seat, tipped the brim of his hat down to his nose, propped the paper on the steering wheel, and began reading. To me, it seemed, as though I were interested, which I wasn't. Huh. Get this. Penny Scribner had triplets. That'll keep old Johnny busy, trying to feed all them hungry babies. He read some more. I'll be darned. The Baptist ladies are having a bake sale. I bet it's a good one. Them old gals can sure cook. He rattled the paper and turned to the inside page. Hey. Get a load of this classified ad. To the owner of the ugly black dog. Your dog killed 3 of my laying hens last Thursday. If you don't tie him up, I will, and his feet won't touch the ground. Signed, Bobby Barnett. He turned to the back page. I watched as he squinted his eyes, changed the angle of his head, and moved the paper around. Either they smudge the ink on this thing or I'm going blind. I may be forced to go to the dime store and try on their bifocals, if they ever put them on sale. You reckon bifocals would spoil my good looks? Suddenly I realized that he was staring at me. What was the question? My mind had, wandered, it seemed. Hank, if you don't start paying closer attention to this conversation, I'm liable to get my feelings hurt and quit talking. He went back to the paper. A lot of dogs would give anything to feed cattle with me and listen to my sparkling conversation. Say, listen to this. Texas leads the nation in the production of bat manure. A guy never knows what he'll learn reading the Picayune. He folded it up and laid it back on the floorboard. I blinked my eyes and yawned. I had spent more exciting times watching ants. I guess he noticed.
What's the deal? You bored?
Yes, as a matter of fact.
You want me to sing you a song?
No, thank you.
Okay, since you asked, since you begged and pleaded, since you love my singing, and since you've got such great taste in music, I'll sing you one song, but just one. Don't ask for two.
Oh, brother. Well,
Here's what he did. Sang, whatever.
There was a handsome cowboy who lived all alone in a tar paper shack he'd made into a home. The ladies all loved him and banged on his door, but he sent them away and made them all cry in their sorrow. Wasn't because he didn't like pretty women and or thought he didn't need a touch of the feminine. He did and he knew it, cause his shack was a mess, but he was deeply devoted to his best pal named Hanky the Wonder Dog. Yippee-ti-yi-yo, stay awake little doggy, I wish you could sing but I know that you can't. Yippee-ti-yi-yo, stay awake, little doggy. The sunshine is bright, but I know that you ain't. Now Hank and his master fed cattle all day, all truckloads and truckloads of alfalfa hay. Come evening, they found themselves back at the house. Slim cooked them a supper of steak and lobster and green beans. And then they sat down for an evening of fun. Slim read him the Picayune till a quarter to one. Hank begged him to sing with his wonderful voice, so he sang many songs, and Hank really loved him a whole bunch. Yippee-ti-yi-yo, stay awake, little doggy, I wish you could sing, but I know that you can't. Yippee-ti-yi-yo, stay awake, little doggy, the sunshine is bright, but I know that you ain't. The sunshine is bright, Hank, but I know that you ain't.
He finished his so-called song and gave me a big grin.
Well, what do you think of that one, Hanky boy?
I thought that was about the dumbest song I'd ever heard. Not only was it incorrect and full of baloney, but half of his lines didn't even rhyme. Furthermore, it was clear to me that Slim needed to find a job that gave him less idle time. Oh, and I'd heard the part about the sunshine is bright, but I know that you ain't. Not funny. Not funny at all. But of course, he got a big chuckle out of it.
Yep, you're a very lucky dog, Hank. Not only do I read the paper to you, but I write songs for you and perform them live and in person. Sometimes I wonder, though, if you really appreciate all the swell things I do for you.
Well, I could clear that one up right away. I didn't appreciate any of it. His paper reading aloud was totally boring, and his singing reminded me of a windmill that needed grease. And next time he wanted me to go feed with him, I would stay home. He yawned and looked out the window.
Well, looks like we've got the cows. Reckon they came up to hear my singing?
He rolled up his window.
Better shut this winder or I'll have alfalfa leaves in this pretty pickup.
He started the motor, put her in compound, let out on the clutch, opened the door, and stepped out.
Well, Pooch, I'll throw off the hay, and you can drive.
He slammed the door and left me alone in the moving pickup.